Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful to be here, Lord, and knowing that it could be the spring, and we're looking forward to your coming soon. And your son Jesus said, wherever I go, that's where I want to be, and I want to take my... He said, Father, I pray that you would, that they would be where I am. So, Lord, we know that he has a great desire for our fellowship. We have a great desire for his. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to that place where we won't get old, won't get tired, won't have this kind of weather, and it'll just be wonderful. So we just commit ourselves unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning be number 17254, and the title be Your Actions Manifest Your Character. And remember, we're looking for a resurrection character. So from Hebrews 10:22-23, we read, let us draw near in a true heart in full assurance of faith. Remember, faith is revelation. So a full assurance of revelation, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, you know, the Bible talks about us laying aside everything, every thought, anything that would come between us and the Word. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith, of our revelation, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, Brother Branham said from God's Only Provided Place of Worship, he said, my action and the vindication of God's word in my life. Now, he's not talking about age, the word from another age. He's talking about the vindicated word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Noah, if he had come with Moses' message or another message, he wouldn't have built the ark and he wouldn't have been saved. Moses, if he came with Noah's message and said, "Hey, let's drive, you know, let's ride down the Nile and escape Pharaoh," it wouldn't have worked. Okay, so you've got to believe the message for your hour, and the message for our hour is we're getting ready to go home. All right, we are becoming more and more manifested as sons of God, and our desire is not here. Our desire is over there, okay? And the word to show, it means to reveal, to manifest, or make evident one's character in a given situation. So then if we want to have an assurance of our position in Christ, we need to look at how we react to his word. Now, I was listening this week right after the rapture, the very next message was things that are to be. And I thought, I want to hear what Brother Branham has to talk about where we're going, okay? So I turned on that message and was listening to it. And Brother Branham said some very startling things. And if you want to hear what he said, just go back to my sermons a couple of weeks ago, because he said exactly what I said, but about us being a germ attribute of God, a gene seed in God before the foundations of the world. And then he said something that startled me a little bit. He used the word continuum. Now, it sounds like he said continuum, like we're continuing. And so they typed it out, continuing, but he actually was talking about a continuum. In other words, a continuum is you've got something here, you've got something there, and it's right in here. So it's, in other words, it's the same thing yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, eternal life. And Brother Man was talking about our going to this new city is a continuum of where we are right now. So right now we are in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? So we'll get into that a little bit more, but anyway, maybe we'll listen to that on Wednesday night because it's really, really good. So the word, so then if we want to have assurance of our position in Christ, we need to look at how we react to his word. We can't get enough of his word, no matter how hard it may seem at times. Then we have assurance that we are his, because Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So then our hungering and thirsting is an evidence that we have or we shall be filled. Then if we are hungry and thirsting, We have assurance that God will fill us. And it is not for us to fill our own selves with his Spirit. Because in Romans 15 and 3 and 13, Paul said, now the God of hope fill you. So God's going to do it. And Ephesians 1:23, it reads, it is God that filleth all in all. So you can try to, you know, like I knew people that listen to tapes constantly, thinking they're getting the Holy Ghost, and they turned out to be almost against this message, okay? So with this in mind, in fact, some of them did become against this message. So with this in mind, I would like to, again, examine the thought behind the statement. He said, my action, okay, so we got one thing to suss, our actions, and the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. In other words, what did the prophet come for? He came forth to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. So if our action is making prepared or making us prepared, then it shows that we are, it shows in our life whether we're a child of God or not. So again, he says, my action plus the vindication of God's word in my life, that's what the doctrine, or that's what, that's what declares who just I am. Now notice, not my actions alone, because this is contrary to the gospel of grace. That is why just showing up on Sundays and paying your tithes and offering doesn't mean the rest of your life may be in order. But if you don't do those things, then that in itself shows that you are not in the conduct of God's word. But that reminds me of an illustration about subsets and sets. And from my way back, just way back in my school days, which is over 50 years ago, I graduated from college. So we were all taught all boys are male. Now that's common sense, right? You got that, William? All boys are male. And so far, that is a correct statement. But then if we say not all males are boys, you scratch your head a little bit. But listen, that is also a correct statement. So I hope you understand why, because some males are men. They're not boys anymore. And so they are no longer boys. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. All men were once boys, but not all boys grow up to become men. Some die before they reach manhood. All right? Or let's look at it this way. All fathers were once children themselves, but not all children become fathers. Can anybody tell me why? Because some children are girls. And also some men never have any children. So they don't become fathers. Now I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm trying to help you to see that one word off is Satan's kingdom. And I am also trying to help you to see what we are striving for. Now we know that there are many seeds. Not all seeds are God's seeds. But God has a seed for every season. And we see that the manifestation of the season of the seed in the season is the evidence that the seed is indeed for the season, right? And we also know the evidence that the seed manifests God life is evidence that the seed contained God life, or it couldn't manifest God life. Just like watermelon seed will manifest watermelon, God's seed will manifest God life. And it must be in its appointed season. Okay, that was only one half of it. But every principle of God has two sides to it. First, there is twins, which is parallelism of scripture. And we've already gone over that a few months ago. A seed that does not manifest shows no evidence of seed life, whether it's a watermelon, whether it's a wheat, or whether it's a God seed. And that doesn't matter if it's wheat or watermelon, whatever. I told you a young man. I told a young man years ago. He thought his entire life, for his entire life, that he was God's seed. And I simply said to him, "If that seed never manifests itself as God's seed, I doubt it's God's seed." In other words, you may think that you are one of God's seed from before the foundation of the world, but unless the Holy Ghost baptizes you with this Holy Spirit and quickens that seed to life, you just think you are. It's like boys today think that they're women. Well, you can't become what you aren't. Okay? Men, you know, young men identify as women. Well, you may identify with something, but that does not make you what you think that you're identifying with. So there's many, many people in this nation that identify as being Christian, and yet you look at their bodies, and their bodies tells you one thing. They're not. All right? Now, just because a person identifies with something doesn't make it so. And like Brother Brown said, just because you say something, it doesn't make it right. Okay? Men who think they are women, just because you believe it so, it doesn't make it so. Well, I'm a giraffe today. I look in the mirror. Well, I don't see a giraffe. You know, that's the mentality of the end time insanity. They think they are what they aren't. The Bible says, what man by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? You know, cubits from here to here. So what man by taking thought can add one cubit, you know, 18 inches or so to his stature? You can't do it, all right? You just can't do it. If a seed receives the same rain, the doctrine of God, doctrine of Christ, and if it receives the same light, which is revelation on that word, but if it still does not manifest God's life, which is to do the will of the Father, then by this non-activity that shows an evidence of a lifeless hull or a dried out shuck. I know many people in this message that was, you know, well, we believe the parousia, we believe the Godhead, and their life shows that they don't believe either. Because if they did, they would watch themselves. They would watch their actions. All right? Now, that may be hard to swallow, but that is a gospel truth. And I'm not up here to tamper or scratch itching ears. The gospel hurts sometimes, but it doesn't hurt it. Excuse me, if it doesn't hurt, it won't do any good. So before you reach any conclusions, let me just say this. If a seed is planted and it does not manifest, then we need to examine whether something is wrong somewhere. We need to check whether it's getting any water, the word, and if it's getting any light on the word, which is revelation. If one of these factors is missing, it will not produce. It's just like a spark plug. All right, if the spark plug doesn't go off, you don't burn the gas, you don't crank the piston, and the car just stays idle. And so it will not produce manifestation of its seed life. So we have three things to consider so far that are needed for seed life to manifest. Number one, a seed that is capable of manifesting life. Because if you got a seed that's capable, you know, I mean, if you got a seed that is not capable, in other words, there's no God life in it, it's not going to manifest God life no matter how much water and how much Holy Spirit you pour out. Like Brother Bram said, you can be baptized every hour of your life and still go to hell because you don't have the germ of God in you. All right? Then there's the light to quicken that seed so it can manifest itself, and then water to nourish it and help it manifest that life. And now there's only one other thing that can prevent and hinder a seed from manifesting its seed life. And let's turn to the Word of God for our answer. In Mark 4, 13 to 20, we read, and notice carefully verse 19, but the cares of this life, this is verse 13, the cares of this life chokes the word and it brings no fruit. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? For how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they which by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown unto stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, in other words, you start believing that God sent a prophet, and then people tell you, oh, he's a false prophet and this and that. Well, then, you see, because they have no, because for the word's sake, the persecution arises, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear or understand the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And that which Luke 8:14-15, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, understood it, see, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So it is impossible to bear fruit seed if you are so earthbound that the pleasures of this world, because John told us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. They might say, I love Jesus, and they live after the world. They don't love God. For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world will pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, eternal. Now we know that the Bible teaches us in the Song of Solomon, to everything there is a season, but we are running out of seasons. This is the last season, and this is the end time. Don't put off for tomorrow to get right with God, because there may be no tomorrow. Now, I think I've said enough about non-seed and non-manifestation of life in a seed. Therefore, I want to flip it back again and look at the thought of what exactly this manifestation of seed life is and what it should do for you who have this manifestation in the season. We're told in Psalm 1:6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Then you're not blessed. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, what if the person walks in the counsel of the ungodly? What if he stands in the way with sinners? He's not blessed. But if he doesn't do those things, he is blessed by his actions to avoid those things. You see, you can do nothing and that's an action. In other words, I choose to not go with them. That's an action. That's doing nothing. But it's an action. It's proving that I'm not with them because they went out from among us, because they're not of us. So it proves that I'm not of them, okay? Now, that's an action. That's why I like to quote I like the quotes that Brother Peter is sending us 3 times a day, because it keeps us, keeps our thoughts keyed in on what we're going through in this hour. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that's the word, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You see, you don't have Luther's fruit. You don't have Wesley's fruit. You have the fruit for this hour. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we talk about manifesting God's life, God's seed life. But are we manifesting according to the season we live in? Are we becoming manifested sons of God, manifesting what is expected for us for the hour that we live? You could be a good Baptist, a Methodist, whatever, and you're living in a glare of another age. You're living, of another age, okay? Even though you're in this age, which means you're denying what's in this age. Now, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind, every wind of doctrine, driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the rightly wise. For the Lord knoweth, the Hebrew word is yada, he watches over with an active participation the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the Hebrew word is abad. I like to term it, oh, that's bad. Okay, it's abad. And it means they are left to themselves. Now, again, we see the contrast between seed and non-seed. But let's look at the seed. Who leaves do not wither, and whose fruit comes forth in the proper season. It tells us that God watches over them with an active participation. Now remember, he who began the work in you shall perform it. It doesn't say you shall perform it. It says he that began the work shall perform it. And it also says God is working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. So, you know, none of us like a spanking, okay? None of us like when God interferes with our plans. But he does, because he wants us to become the seed that he ordained us to become. So God works in you to make sure that you are producing timely fruit. And as I said earlier in the season, that God will bring us to trials and testing to make sure that we stick with our revelation. See, it's not a revelation if you lose it. It's an intelligent decision, but it's not a revelation. So don't worry too much about how much fruit you're bearing, because God will also give you the tests that you need in order to perfect that faith or revelation. We call that pruning. He who gave you faith also gives you the means to use it. He who gave you the revelation also gives you the means to use it and bring it into a maturity and a completion. And that's what we all are looking for. Now, we began this message today by reading from the book of Hebrews, so let's go back to that again. Notice in 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, in full assurance of revelation, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, washed with pure word, a vindicated word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith or revelation without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So what is revelation? Our revelation, it is knowing your position in the family for the day and hour that you're living in. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. That is what we all want. Full assurance. Not a hope so, but a know so. That is why Brother Bram is telling us here that the vindicated word will produce something in our lives that will take over and that will be an evidence to us that we are indeed God's seed. He said, my action in the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Not my actions alone, that's worse, but my action and is a conjunction that links the two thoughts together. My actions is one thought and the vindication in my life is the other thought. It's just like you were in God's mind before the foundations of the world and you will go to be with him. So in between, you are what you are and God is moving you toward that. In other words, it's a continuum. It wouldn't be a continuum if you weren't in his mind and then you're now in his mind. It's a continuum because you were in his mind and you're going to be there with him in his presence, and now he's also you're manifesting. Now, you might not be manifesting like you like to be, like the black woman, she said, I ain't what I used to be, but I ain't what I'm ought to be, you know, and that's where we're at, all right? You're not what you used to be. Like Brother Bram said, you can tell God is working on you because you look at your life and say, well, I'm living a different life than I used to live, okay? So what he's saying here is a vindicated word in my life will produce an action in my life, and those two together will show I have God life in me and will prove whose seed that I am. Because let's face it, a seed that never comes forth, no matter how much that you give it life and water, light and water, if it still does not manifest any life, then it is only a husk or a shuck. I've met many people in this message that, well, I believe the same thing for 40 years. Well, then you haven't grown, have you? If you believe the same thing you believed 40 years ago, you have not grown. You stagnated. And that shows there's no life. And as I read to you before, 1 John 2:17, and the word and the world will pass away and the lust thereof. Isn't it going to be nice when you get your body changed, the lust thereof, they pass away? The desires that you have, they pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That means he will live, that we will live forever. That means he has eternal life. Now, God's life cannot perish. And as we quote from Revelation 22, the blessed are they that do all his commandments, that they might have a right to enter into life, the tree of life. So we are looking at what Brother Branham and the scripture call an evidence of God's life in us. In other words, it's a continuum because we were in him, we're still in him, and we'll then be in him as well. All right? We don't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus, the anointed one, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you will be what you were in God's mind, and now you're in Christ in heavenly places, and now you're going to be with him. Okay? You also be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I love the title of your sermon, Eternal Redemption, because, you know, that's what it's all about, okay? Now, also remember, not just any fruit will do, but the fruit of the season, of which he told us in the Anointed Ones at the end time, the fruit is a teaching of the season. Now, this morning, I want to talk about the assurance that the Word of God brings us and how we can know that we are a part of the Word for the hour in which we live. How do we know that we're part of the hour? Well, in Hebrews 10:22, it tells us that we have a true heart in full assurance of faith. And you can't have a true heart if you don't have a true word. So we have a true heart, our true understanding in full assurance of faith, full assurance of revelation. And since faith is a revelation, then we have a true heart or true understanding in full assurance because of this revelation. It's like I was talking to Brother Peter this morning. I said, you know, I said, I've been preaching for the last few weeks on how do we know that we're part of him. And then I listened to all things that are to be, and almost identical words the prophet used. He said, you are an attribute of God, a germ in God, you're part of God, part of God's genes. And he says, and now you're manifesting that gene. That's exactly what we talked about, okay? And I didn't even go to that sermon to look up some quotes, you know, but I did afterwards, so. And I didn't do it going looking for him. I just thought, hey, I want to know what he says about the things that are to be. Now, how much more assurance could you have than at the revelation of Jesus Christ, you see yourself responding to it and preparing yourself by it? Is there anybody in here that's not responding to this message? Not responding to the message, not responding to your life? Your life has not changed? I don't think there is. Good. Because that shows you an evidence that it belongs to you. It was for you. All right? 1 John 3 and 12 says, 1 to 2 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, he shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So notice verse 3 is our response. And every man that has this hope, this earnest expectation in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. We go to the Word and we try to measure up our life with what we see. And every man that has his hope purifies himself. And Hebrews 10:22 says, the word assurance is a Greek word, plerophorio, and is used in the scripture to speak of being full, to fully believe, to be fully persuaded, to show full proof, and to be fully known. The word actually means to fill one with any thought or conviction or inclination, and hence to make one certain, to persuade, convince, and be assured. In Luke 1:1 says, for as many as have taken in hand to set forth in a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. The same word here is most surely believed. Okay. Romans 4:12 says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith or revelation, he continued not, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, how many believe there's going to be a rapture? Why? Because God promised it, right? All right. How many believe that they're going to be there? Because God promised it in his word, all right? And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So if you're believing this word for the hour, and your actions prove that you believe this word for the hour, then that's imputed to you for righteousness, right wiseness. Notice that as a result of his being fully persuaded, it was accounted to him for being righteous, which means rightly wise. Now, if he wasn't fully persuaded, then he would vacillate. Like the Bible says, you know, You can't have hot water coming out of a cold spigot, you know. In other words, don't be a double-minded man, all right? Don't vacillate over the word. Your actions will prove what you believe, all right? 2 Timothy 4 and 5 says, "But thou, watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." There's that word again, making full proof. In 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 17, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Again, that same word speaks of fully known. Colossians 2 and 2 says, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ." In other words, full assurance of understanding. Now, why am I talking about this full assurance? Because you have a revelation. The world does not. All right? There's very few people in this world that have what you have. You have full assurance because you believe a vindicated prophet, and it lines up perfectly with the scriptures. All right? In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So notice again, full assurance that you may know. Full assurance that you may know. What's the full assurance? It's your actions prove what you believe. All right? Actions prove what you believe. Now, Hebrews 6 and 12, 10 and 12, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." In other words, God's looking at your actions. He's saying they truly believe. They have an assurance of faith. They have an assurance of the revelation is right. And so therefore their actions prove it. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Again, full assurance of hope or earnest expectation. So we see that all of these scriptures proves that our assurance comes as a result of receiving a certain understanding or a certain knowledge. In other words, you go to school to learn to become a nurse. When you've got full assurance of becoming a nurse, you become a nurse, okay? And then when you have something come up, that full assurance takes over. And you do what you were taught to do. And as we, as God's seed, are coming into a manifestation of sons of God, proving to the world that we are what we say that we are. As Brother Bram put it, when we have this knowledge and we see ourselves responding to this revelation of Christ in our midst, we come to the place where we just know. Everything just adds up to the fact that we are God's seed and therefore we have God life in us. So when you're laying in bed at night, go over your life and go over what you believe, and you see the two come together and you know, hey, I am different from the world. I am a son or a daughter of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, I know it's short today, but it's a good message. And Lord, we just pray that truly our hearts would just be full of assurance that your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.